So we're going to continue from where we left off last week. In Matthew chapter 6, let's read that whole section again. We're going to start in verse 5. And Jesus said here, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their rewards. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth the things ye have need of before ye ask him." Let's open in prayer. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us, for being right here with us. Lord, I thank you for your son, Jesus, allowing us to approach your throne. And we come to you in that power, with that privilege. And we ask for your hand upon each one of us in this room. Lord, if there's someone in this room that's never called out to you in prayer yet, confessing their sins and asking for salvation, that this can be the day of salvation. Lord, there's some here that do not enjoy this privilege yet. They would see the importance of it. Start to enjoy the intimacy they can have with you. And Lord, those that are amongst us that pray regularly for us, lift your people up to you that they can see the blessing of intimacy with you. Lord, I ask that you have your way in this sermon. Give me the words and the voice to say it. In your name I pray. Amen. Now, as we read this portion here in the Sermon on the Mount, first thing I want to look at today is to pray intimately. Pray intimately. I know that's the whole title. But we got to make sure that our prayers go beyond some shallow wishing well. To pray intimate, what does intimacy mean? It means close and deep. It means to get beyond the shallow and get to the heart. It means to share the heart and not hold back from God. Look at verse 6 again. But thou, see that next phrase there? When thou prayest, not if you do, but when you pray, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. He says, get in the closet. Find your private little place, that private conversation with God. It's kind of like that private conversation with your wife. You know, in front of the kids, you have your normal conversation, but as far as Amy and I, when we have that private conversation, I'm not talking a dirty talk, okay? Don't worry, Josiah. That's not what I'm talking about today, okay? I like to make him match his shirts. And I'm sorry. I'm talking that private conversations that sometimes you and your spouse need to hash out without any other input. Maybe you're sharing your heart with your spouse that no one else needs to know. For us, it's when we go to bed at night and we're in our room by ourselves, the door's closed, and we get to just talk. No one else's business. We can cry. No one else knows. We can laugh at each other. No one else knows. It's that private conversation that I can have with her. You know what? This is what God is saying. Go in your closet and have that intimate, private time with God. That you can just spill your guts. That you can give those things that you don't want anybody else to know you're struggling with. God, I'm hacked at you right now. You can't say that to God. Why not? God already knows. Tell him and ask him for help. But he wants you to go into the closet, your place of battle. You ever watched the movie War Room? Anybody with me? I know we're Baptists. We don't like to raise a hand. So, and the lady in that movie had her closet with her prayer request taped up and the blessings and answers to prayer. Do you have a battle room? Do you go get on your knees to fight an intimacy with God, where you call out for His power and you approach His throne, that sweet place with God with no interruptions. See, what God's telling you to do is go in your closet, don't have a TV up on the wall, don't take your cell phone with you. Do you know it's okay to throw these in a, to put these in the other room or even turn them off sometimes? Try that when you go on a vacation with your family so that you spend time with your family. Yeah? I didn't get no amens, especially from the teen aisle. Y'all know this has an off button. You getting mad at me now? No, the girl's like, no, don't. Step away from my phone. But you see, no distractions. That's what God wants, just that intimacy with Him. And that you can spend time with Him. But the thing about intimacy between you and God is like intimacy between you and your spouse. You don't brag about it. You don't speak of it. Nobody needs to know about it. It's between you and Him. You don't need to call an audience. Hey, guys, you're going to be amazed. Come check this out. I'm going to pray. Scripture condemns that. It calls you a hypocrite. Here's the cool thing about intimacy with God. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy that you get to approach God Almighty and give Him everything because He knows it already. And why does He want it? We're going to get there. See, when a believer comes out of the closet, is a whole different thing. When we come out of the closet, it ain't for attention. When we come out of the closet, it's because we just gained power. We've been praying. And I'll repeat the words of one of my favorite songs, which was back in the late 90s by Bob Carlyle. When you see me on my knees, it's not because I'm weak. I'm getting stronger. You see me praying, no matter how much I'm slobbering and crying, I'm at the throne of the Almighty God, and I'm gaining power. I'm gaining courage. I'm gaining wisdom. I may be getting humbled. But in humility, we gain strength because He says when you humble yourself, He can lift us up, didn't He? You see, when a believer comes out of the closet, he's stronger than he's ever been. He's also at more peace because at peace with God. See, enjoy the privilege of approaching the sovereign God. Enjoy the right that you were given through the blood of Jesus Christ when He adopted you as His kids. You have intimacy with Him. My kids have rights with me that no other kids get to do. No other kids get to know, but they're my kids. God adopted you as His child. You have an intimacy with Him that His enemy does not have. Who's His enemy? Any that has not placed faith in Him because they're still in his sins. He's loved them enough to offer them peace and payment. But if they reject Him, His wrath will come upon them. Yes? So I'll challenge you, if you've never called upon Jesus Christ for salvation, you are still in your sins. You are still guilty before a holy God. The first prayer you need to say is, "Dear God, forgive me. Let the blood of Jesus Christ wash away my sins." Oh, what a sweet prayer. Because that prayer just starts a whole new relationship, a whole new eternity. First thing we saw is make prayer a priority. That was last week. Make sure prayers are sincere. And we saw now pray intimately. I also want to see here pray freshly. I don't even know if that's a correct wording, teachers. But pray freshly. Have fresh prayers. See, prayer is often misused. Often prayers are used as a wishing well, as a lottery ticket, if you will. The more I do it, the better the chances I'm going to win. Ever seen somebody walk out of the gas station with a pile of scratchers? One of these is going to be a winner. Hey, you spent 20 bucks and you won five. You know? Yeah. And so we do that with prayer. Well, I prayed five times today for a new truck. It didn't show up yet. Looked under my bed and everything. I mean, we would treat prayer as if the more I do it, the better chances I'm going to get it. We'll treat it sometimes as a lawyer's wording, trying to convince God that he should do what I need. But Lord, if you give me this truck, I'll use it for your glory by giving Mark a ride. Right? I mean, we can try to make everything so spiritualized, but remember, God knows our heart. Sometimes we use prayers as just this rehearsed saying, not praying sincerely from our heart, but repeating someone else's prayer. Yeah, but these are the prayers of the Puritans. Yeah, it was theirs. Give it back to them. That's okay. We can learn from those. That's not a bad thing. But my prayer with God is intimacy. Imagine me going to my wife and trying to talk to her about what Carlos told his wife the other day. She really don't care about Green Bay Packers. The Chiefs are playing tonight, by the way. I'm just... Really? God wants intimacy with you. He doesn't want to see, oh, he got a good quote. God's not saying, wow, that was good. You read someone's book. No, he wants intimacy with you. See, this completely destroys the purpose of prayer. Because prayer is not about winning. It's not about gaining favor with God or convincing him to act. It's not about getting what you want. The purpose of prayer is intimacy with God. I got quiet out there. The purpose of prayer is intimacy with God. And this intimacy allows God to transform our hearts. You know, a lot of times when we pray for God changes our hearts, where we realize, God had a better idea for me. He had a better plan. How many times I prayed, God, make me a millionaire. That would be kind of fun. He knew I couldn't handle being a millionaire. I'm guessing. I'm still praying for it. I ain't stopping. Someone gets the scratchers, right? You're right. God knows your heart. God knows how he wants to use you. And in that intimacy, he starts transforming your heart. And so by drawing closer to him in that intimacy, we start to learn to submit to him, to be obedient to him, to follow his will and his desires. And in this intimacy, we get to know him better. And in this intimacy, we bring him all of our cares. And what does that make us? Completely dependent on him. Do you realize that's where God wants you? Is to realize that you are completely dependent on him. Why does he want you to pray? Intimacy and dependence. You depend on him for the breath you're about to take. Like that, he'll shut off your lungs. You depend on him for your eternity, because why? Left on your own, what'd you do? You sinned against the holy God, and you deserve death and hell. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. On your own, death and hell. Because of God, eternal life. You see there, we depend completely on him. That's what prayer is about. In verse 7 there, look what it says. Why do we pray freshly? Verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speakings. Jesus said, don't be repetitious. The heathens, those that don't have a relationship with him, those that walk in sin and love sin, they believe that the squeaky wheel gets the grease. I'll just keep repeating it over and over and over and over. The more noise one makes, the more God's going to listen. Imagine if our conversation was this way with each other. It was rehearsed. Imagine if we treated God as some do. going to rub my beads. Kansas City Chiefs are the best team in the world. Kansas City Chiefs are the best team in the world. Kansas City Chiefs, man, don't laugh. I got 20 more times I'm supposed to say this. That'd annoy you, wouldn't it? Would that drive you nuts? Why? There's no intimacy there. You're just annoying. Check, make sure I'm okay. She's laughing at me. You see, God does not design prayer for us to chant at him. For someone else to tell me what to say and what to pray. If we were to do that one another, it wouldn't be a conversation. There would be no intimacy. There's no desire to get to know one another. And so Jesus says, don't do this. Don't be repetitious. God does not want repetition. He told us what prayers he blesses, didn't he? Did he tell us what prayers he blesses? James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In John 14:13, Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. God isn't blessing the loud mouth, is he? I didn't get an amen. Okay, thank you. Thank you. God didn't say, I want to bless the loud mouth before you say it, because there'd be a lot of blessed people here. Not in here. I'm sorry. Don't get offended. Be soon. He's blessing the obedient man, the righteous man that wants to honor him, that lives a life that shows that he loves God, lives a life that brings God glory. God says, him, I will bless his prayers. His prayers avail much. They accomplish much. Why? Because his prayers aren't selfish. His prayers are seeking my will and my desire. His heart isn't hardened to what he wants. His heart is soft to where I can transform him. I can point him in the desire I want him to go. So he says, what prayers am I going to bless? Not the repetition ones. The ones from a righteous heart. Notice Jesus never gave us a prayer to pray. He never gave us a prayer to repeat. He never said to go and pray 50 Hail Marys. Now, I'll be honest with you. It was only a few years ago that I realized it wasn't Hail Mary, but Hail Mary. I always wondered why Hail Mary? I don't get it. He taught us to pray by confessing our sins. He taught us to pray by repenting. He taught us to pray in an intimate way with just him, not to go rub a bead and repeat what someone else told me to say. He wants intimacy with us. We have plenty to talk about to God, don't we? Now, I'm going to give you a list of some stuff to pray about. If you got a pen and paper, you're going to want to jot some of this down. Because I'm going to give you some scripture that tells you. We have a lot to talk about when we come to God. And just like any relationship, don't repeat the same old thing. Share something fresh, something new in your life. What's going on right now? What's your wants? What's your frustrations? What's your problems? Scripture gives us a lot to pray for. Some of the areas to pray for. You with me? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. We want to say, oh, it's in the past. Move on. No. Bring it to the Lord in prayer. Bring it to him. Confess your faults one to another, but first you bring it to God. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sometimes we have problems that linger in our lives, our marriage, our kids, our church, because we don't want to confess our faults to God. I don't want to admit I really did that. I want to act like it's in the past. No, I don't care if it's in the past. You never brought it to him. Bring it to him. He brought it to your mind for a reason. So you deliver it to him. And once you give it to him, he says he puts it away. You don't got to worry about it no more. See, it's when you're deepest in sin that you start forgetting that you are a sinner. And you start to forget your need of a holy God. If you say you have no sins, you call God a liar, according to 1 John 1:10. And God wants to bring it, wants us to bring and deliver it to Him. So why? He can set us free. He can set us free. I'm not saying you keep bringing it to Him. There has to be that point in your life that you repent of and you bring and deliver it to Him and say, God, this was sinful in your sight. So the first was forgiveness. Second, pray for wisdom. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously. Don't know direction? Don't know how to apply God's word? Need to know how to let God's word control and have its way? Pray. Only the Holy Spirit can truly do that for you. So forgiveness, wisdom. The next one is guidance. Guidance, direction. Ever stuck? Well, listen to this. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. Want to make the right decision? Wait for the peace of God. Wait for the peace of God. He will give you the peace to not do it or to do it. Pray for strength. In Matthew 26:41, Jesus speaking to his disciples said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Do you have struggles? Do you have weaknesses, temptations? Nobody wants to nod their head right now because that's a hard one. No temptations in my life. You lying fool. Back up to confessing our sins. You know what? We all have those struggles in our lives. How are you going to get strength? You pray. You pray. Why? Because the only one that can use the scripture to strengthen you is the Spirit of God that's within you if you're a child of God. Don't fight on your own. Ask for strength and confront the problem. And then also, the next one to pray for is pray for who you love. Pray for those you love. Sometimes we forget to pray and lift up those we love until someone gets sick or something bad happens. No, pray for them. Pray all the time. In Philippians 1, 3, and 4, Paul writing to the book of, to the church of Philippi, says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. God, anyone you love, anyone that loves you, tell them you love them, but lift them up to the throne of God. I got to speak, I told you about my youth pastor, the man I look up to, anybody in my life, godliest man. He tells me regularly. Talked to him a few days ago. He said, Ron, you're still on my prayer list, and I'm praying for you daily. Man, that means so much to me. I need it. Oh, I need it. And he's praying for me. That meant a lot to me. You know what? Tell someone. But don't just tell them. You be praying for them. Don't be using God's word and God's prayer as a crutch to make people feel good and yourself look spiritual. You best be praying for them. Them up. But also, pray for believers. Pray for believers. You know, Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. We need each other, don't we? I need your prayers. You need my prayers. You need each other's prayers. This is why the theme for 2023 is this, intimate prayer. You pray for each other. Lift each other up. But only don't only pray for your loved ones and for believers, but the tough one now. What's that one? Pray for your enemies. Pray for your enemies. Matthew 5:44, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You got any enemies? Got that person? Oh, I just can't stand them. I avoid them. Coming down the street, I'm crossing the street. They walk in the door, and I'm like, oh, they're here. Not that we would ever have someone like that in our lives, right? That's not a spiritual thing to say, Pastor. Can we be honest for a minute? Someone's already come to your mind when I said that. There's the honest ones right here. Someone's like, shame on you, Miss Linda. Let me go buff my halo real quick. You pray. What does Scripture say? He's not even saying that person that annoys you. He's not saying the person that gossips against you. These are people that persecuted him. That's what he's calling enemy. If you can't get over someone that made a bad post on you on Facebook, or he didn't double-click your Instagram or whatever, all the junk that we do now, and it hurts your feel-bads, get over it. He's talking about people that persecute you. He said, pray for those that persecute you. Man. You mean the one that just made my family starve? Because of him, I can't have a job. The community hates me. Remember, in these days, find out who they were worshiping Jesus. They would be cut off from the rest of the Jews. They wouldn't be able to sell anything. They couldn't buy anything. Pray for him? Yes. Because you know why? That reflects Jesus Christ himself. That while you were sinful, still in your sins, you cursed him, used his name in vain. You ignored his laws. Committed adultery, or at least in your mind, he still hung on a cross and said, I love you. And he says to you, no matter what they did to you, I want you to pray for them. For some of us in this room, that means pray for your parents. Some might mean pray for your kids. Bitter and angry at them. Your spouse. Pray for. Pray with them. You can't pray too much with your spouse, I promise you that. And here's the problem. First time you want to pray with your spouse, it's going to get awkward. It's going to be weird. You go first. No, you go first. You go first. The problem is it's awkward in the first place. It shows our intimacy didn't go to the level it should have gone. Pray for your spouse and with your spouse. Get awkward together. Your wedding night, you got awkward, didn't you? I can't remember. After your wedding. No, I'm just kidding. What's more important here? What type of intimacy is more important with your loved one? Well, maybe not your loved one right now, but the one God put in your life. Spiritual intimacy. If you'll draw spiritually with him into the throne of God together, he'll work on the other issues. What about the person that really persecuted you, giving you a hard time? Pray for him. Who knows what God's going to do in their life, but I guarantee you this, he's going to change your heart. Because the more you pray for him, let me tell you what it does to your heart. I could share from personal experience. It's going to change your prayer from God, kill him, to God, let them hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let them truly know you. Why? It may not have changed that person, but it changed my heart. Pray for. We have plenty to talk to God about. The truth is, when we'll kneel down intimately with him, we often don't get back up for quite some time. Just enjoy the time of intimacy. just enjoy that time of intimacy. And the last point today, just real quickly, is enjoy the rewards. Enjoy the rewards. Yes, when you pray sincerely, desiring intimacy with God, you will be rewarded. Look at verse 6 at the end of it. Thy Father which sees in secret shall reward thee. How? Openly. Openly. Remember, if you do it to be men, you may be blessed of men. Get a pat on the back or attaboy. But with sincere and intimate prayer from God, gets a blessing from the created universe. And God will be seen publicly, openly, not necessarily money, health, or fame. But think of the men of the Bible. I say men generally, the women too. Stephen, praying out to God while he's being stoned, rocks hitting him in the head. And what did God say? Stephen declared what he saw. I see the Son of God. God let him see and have the peace of God. And that was public to those listening. Why? He's getting stoned. How can he be at peace? Because his God gave him peace in the midst of problems. You remember Paul, who was in prison, who cried out, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." When he used to be the killer of Christians, the persecutor, he got saved. And now the people that hate Christians want to kill Paul. And he said, "That's okay, go ahead. For me to live is Christ. And if you kill me, hey, it's better for me because then I'm with Christ." So it was annoying to them. If I kill you, you get more rewards. If I don't kill you, you preach Jesus. Jesus bless him? Yeah, openly. Elijah was taken to heaven in a whirlwind. Imagine the shock of seeing that. That'd be awesome. All we see with the whirlwind is torn up stuff. How about David, whose son rose to take away his throne? Rebelled against his father, and through David's prayer was restored to his throne in a weird way. Just so you know, real quick recap. His son got his long hair stuck in a tree and he hung there for people to come kill him. Weird, huh? I know. Doesn't happen in Humiston very often, thank goodness. Because we don't have a lot of trees. And his prayer was answered publicly. Hannah prayed because she wanted to give her husband a son. The priest saw her praying, knew what he was praying, she was praying about. And what did God give her? A son. Not just a son, a prophet, a priest, who came and was mentored by that very priest. Did God bless her openly? Sure did. Samuel was her son. And he cried out to God, as we talked about last week. He said, "Lord, I am listening." And he became a priest and prophet and was a counselor to great men of God. See, God blessed them because they were intimate. Look at verse 8, the end of it. "For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." God knows your need. You're praying about telling God, "Hey, by the way, you're going to be shocked off your throne on this one." No, he knows what your heart is about. He knows what you're coming for. But he wants you to come with dependence on him. He wants you to come with intimacy for him. And as a good father, he listens to our prayers. He'll meet our needs. He will have fellowship with us. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus uses the example of even a carnal man, even an unbeliever, wants to do good for his kids. How much more good and God would want for his children? It's great to serve a God who wants fellowship with us, isn't it? A God that made a way that we can approach his throne, have intimacy with him. And if you are a child of God, If you had a time, you confessed your sins to him, you believe in Jesus Christ, and you called on his name for salvation, you are his child, and he wants intimacy with you. He wants fellowship with you. And so let me ask you, you with me? Only you. How is your prayer life? How is your prayer life? If your prayer life isn't strong, neither is your Bible life, neither is your evangelistic life, neither is your holiness, your godliness, or your joy. Because you're not having intimacy with the one that can do all that in and through you. But if you'll humble yourself and pray, God will strengthen the areas of your life. And he's going to use you and reward you openly. And it'll be a blessing only he can give. Would you stand with me? As we have a time of invitation today. Remember, this is one of those awkward times. God's working on your heart to humble yourself before him. You better get to moving and let him bless. But I want this time to be for all. For some of us, the invitation is to salvation. Have you had that first prayer in your life that calls out to God saying, I'm a sinner and I need your payment for sin? If not, you're still trapped in your sins before a holy God, and he will hold you guilty for all eternity. Have you prayed your first prayer yet? God save me. An unbeliever, if you have done that, are you intimate with God? No, I mean, are you comfortable to approach the throne and pour out your guts to God and just enjoy that fellowship with him? If not, let it start now because you're missing out. You're missing out on those blessings. This isn't about guilt. Guilt don't benefit at all. But it is about us walking closer to him. So we can enjoy the blessings he wants to give to us. He can use us in his own way, and he can transform our hearts. And if you don't have an intimate prayer life with him now, here's an opportunity to start. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us, for being right here with us. Lord, I ask that you touch each one of our hearts in this room. If there's someone here that's never called on you for salvation, this can be that day that they can call out in the name of Jesus. Lord, for the rest of us here, we'd evaluate that we sincerely approach your throne. Having a desire of intimacy, knowing that we are dependent completely on you. And Lord, I ask that you have your way, that you would move amongst us today. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Head bowed, eyes closed as the piano plays. Will you step out of your comfort zone? Will you come forward? Maybe you need some intimacy with God right here. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and let him lift you up. You got family members you need to pray for and with. If you'd like me to pray with you, I'd love to. But you don't need me. But I'd love to pray with you. Maybe people coming forward humble themselves right now. What about you? Are you satisfied where you're at? What you're doing? Maybe you need to go over and grab your wife right now. Say, hon, we need to start praying together. Right now's a good time. Maybe for your kid. Hon, I'm worried about our kid, our son, our daughter. Pray for this church.